details at CapitalOne.com. And listeners like you who donate to this NPR station.
From the University of Kansas, we are Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 Lawrence and 96.1 FM in Lawrence. We're online at kansaspublicradio.org. Mostly clear skies overnight tonight with lows in the lower 60s. Mostly sunny for tomorrow, highs in the upper 70s. It's 84 degrees in Lawrence. This is KPR.
From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Elsa Chan.
Here at the DNC, the organizers have offered hundreds of credentials to content creators, social media influencers. Tune into All Things Tomorrow. Tune into All Things Considered tomorrow to view this convention through the eyes of one of them. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
We're live. We're local. We are Kansas Public Radio. From the University of Kansas, we're 91.5 Lawrence and 99.5 Manhattan. You can find us online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from the 43rd Annual Kansas State Fiddling and Picking Championships, a family day in Lawrence's South Park featuring traditional acoustic music. Sunday, August 25th. More at fidpick.org.
Good evening. I'm Kay McIntyre. Glad to be with you for All Things Considered for the next 40 minutes or so. Coming up on All Things Considered, Ukraine is fighting Russia on three separate fronts. We look at how all three are going, coming up on All Things Considered on Kansas Public Radio. Turangalila is a word that means all kinds of things. Time, movement, rhythm, love, joy, life, death. We'll hear the Turangalila Symphony by Olivier Messiaen in the next concert from the BBC Proms. Also, the world premiere of Anna Klein's The Gorgeous Nothings. It's written specifically for the Proms. That's Friday night at 7 o'clock on KPR1. Mostly clear skies overnight tonight with lows around 61 degrees. Mostly sunny for tomorrow, highs near 77. We still got temperatures in the 80s, 85 degrees in Chanute. This is KPR.
Got an old car or truck taking up space in your garage? Skip the hassle of selling it and donate it to KPR. We'll pick it up and you'll get a tax deduction. Learn more at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for NPR comes from this station.
It's 100 years ago? Oh, heck, I could do it.
Now she's written a novel inspired by Coleman's life, plus analysis of the Democratic National Convention tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Join us for Morning Edition tomorrow morning from 5 to 9 o'clock. Your hosts tomorrow, Steve Inskeep, A. Martinez, and Tom Perkinson. Good afternoon. I'm Kay McIntyre, sitting in for Laura Larson. Glad to be with you on this Monday afternoon for All Things Considered. We've got the latest news from NPR coming up next, followed by local and regional news from the KPR newsroom. That's all ahead on Kansas Public Radio. The time is 6:30.
Kyo Martinez Beltran, NPR News, Austin.
Stocks finished higher across the board on Wall Street. This is NPR.
From the KPR newsroom, I'm Kay McIntyre. Good afternoon. A fire at a Lawrence senior residential facility has been brought under control, but firefighters say they'll keep the building under fire watch overnight. Dozens of residents were evacuated from Brandon Woods this afternoon after fire broke out. In a press release, Lawrence Douglas County Fire Medical said one police officer suffered smoke inhalation, but no residents were injured in the fire. Not all residents of Brandon Woods were required to evacuate. Approximately 85 residents were transported to a condominium across the street. The Red Cross and Douglas County Emergency Management are working to find alternative housing for those people displaced from the fire. After years of drought and supply chain interruptions that have hurt the agriculture industry, Kansas farmers are still reeling from the impact of inflation. Kaylin Moore has this report.
The rising cost of groceries can be a symbol for inflation for consumers, but Kansas farmers have also faced higher prices to produce those groceries. In 2022, fertilizer costs increased by 300%, and western Kansas had one of its worst droughts in almost a century. Farmers are still trying to recover. Glenn Tonsor, agriculture economist for Kansas State University, says based on how the beef industry is set, higher prices for consumers do not guarantee farmers will benefit.
A lot of people look at the sticker price and jump to the conclusion that whoever's selling that to them are making money, and that isn't enough to guarantee it.
And younger farmers trying to keep their operations going are adversely affected by inflation. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Kaylin Moore in Liberal.
Thieves broke into a Leavenworth County storage locker and took thousands of dollars worth of auction items earlier this month. The auction goods were going to be used to raise money for the nonprofit group Operation Wildlife in Linwood. Executive Director Diane Johnson says her agency is the largest wildlife rehabilitation and education center in Kansas.
We provide rehabilitative and veterinary care to injured and orphaned wild animals. And then we also have an education program where we go into schools and libraries, civic and social organizations, and teach them about wildlife coexistence.
Johnson said the burglars got away with about $5,000 to $10,000 worth of auction goods. From the KPR newsroom, I'm Kay McIntyre.
Support for NPR comes from the station and from Amazon Business.
This is All Things Considered from NPR News.
At Morning Edition from NPR News, we're talking about what you're talking about.
Beyonce is not only revealing Black cowboy culture, she's transforming country music forever.
Trying to understand the world.
What does this ceasefire proposal say?
And sometimes, annoying Jerry Seinfeld.
Are you seriously asking that?
Join us every weekday for a well-rounded start to your morning.
Join us tomorrow for a well-rounded start to your morning with Morning Edition from 5 to 9 o'clock here on Kansas Public Radio. Your hosts tomorrow, A. Martinez, Steve Inskeep, and Tom Parkinson. Good afternoon. I'm Kay McIntyre filling in for Laura Lorson. She'll be back tomorrow for All Things Considered here on Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from Spider Art Constructors, offering foundation repair for leaky basements, cracks, leaning walls, and waterproofing as part of your home preservation project. More information at Spider, Spider with a Y, SpiderArtConstructors.com.
Coming up on All Things Considered. Compared to other storms to hit Puerto Rico in recent years, Tropical Storm Ernesto was minor. Yet it still managed to knock out power to half the island's residents. That story just ahead on All Things Considered here on KPR. Mostly clear skies overnight tonight. Lows in the lower 60s. Light winds from the east around 5 miles per hour. Mostly sunny for tomorrow with highs in the upper 70s. We've still got temperatures in the lower 80s. Going on 7 o'clock here on KPR, 83 degrees in Emporia, 83 in Lawrence, 82 in Overland Park, 83 in Topeka. You're listening to All Things Considered on Kansas Public Radio.
From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Ari Shapiro.
And I'm Elsa Chang. Western Connecticut was pounded.
And this is Kansas Public Radio, broadcasting from the University of Kansas. We're KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3. Tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from the Kansas City Zoo and Aquarium, open year-round featuring nearly 10,000 animals. Admission supports the zoo's conservation fund, preserving wildlife at home and around the world. More at kansascityzoo.org.
Coming up this evening on Kansas Public Radio, Destiny is Going Greek. We'll visit Athens with a composer you know and one you don't, plus Sibelius' Symphony No. 5. That's all ahead on a lovely Monday evening with Destiny on KPR's Evening Classical, immediately following the latest news from NPR.
This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on the Lawrence Community Orchestra, a local ensemble providing an experience where people of all backgrounds celebrate and share music together, encouraging pride in the Lawrence community. Details at lawrenceorchestra.org.
Clear skies overnight tonight with lows around 61 degrees, light winds from the east. For tomorrow, mostly sunny, highs in the upper 70s. It's 83 in Lawrence, 83 in Topeka. This is KPR.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. For Democrats, weeks of waiting and a still fairly recent shift at the top of the ticket are all coming together tonight in Chicago, where President Biden, who has opted not to seek re-election, will be talking about passing the torch to his Vice President Kamala Harris. Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson touched on the importance of the moment for the party during his welcoming remarks to the Democratic National Convention.
This city of hard work and caring people is where Democrats will celebrate President Joe Biden and nominate Kamala Harris for President of the United States of America.
Democrats will sign off on their party platform. Tonight's list of speakers includes not only the keynote from President Biden, but also remarks from former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, UAW President Sean Fain, and various House Democrats, including Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Vice President Harris is reviving a Biden administration proposal to raise the corporate tax rate from 21% to 28% if she wins the presidency. NPR's Asma Hall reports it's the first clear indication of how Harris is thinking about raising revenue.
The current corporate rate of 21% was signed into law by Donald Trump when he was president. A Harris campaign spokesman describes the vice president's plan as, quote, a fiscally responsible way to put money back in the pockets of working people and ensure billionaires and big corporations pay their fair share. Last week, Harris announced a slew of economic proposals, like down payment assistance for first-time homebuyers and an expansion of the child tax credit. Hiking the corporate tax rate is one way to generate revenue to pay for them. Trump has said he would push Congress to drop the corporate tax rate further to 15%. Asma Khalid, NPR News, Chicago.
Former New York Representative George Santos pleaded guilty to wire fraud and aggravated identity theft in New York federal courtroom today. As Samantha Max of member station WNYC reports, Santos' grandiose stories about his background made a national punchline.
Santos was expelled from Congress last year after he was accused of lying, stealing unemployment benefits, and misusing campaign funds for personal expenses like Botox and designer clothes. After Santos was indicted, he said he was entitled to due process. But now, he says he's dedicated to making amends and hopes to earn forgiveness.
This plea is not just an admission of guilt. It's an acknowledgement that I need to be held accountable, like any other American that breaks the law.
Santos pleaded guilty just weeks before he was supposed to stand trial. He's expected to spend at least 2 years in prison and will be required to repay hundreds of thousands of dollars to his victims. For NPR News, I'm Samantha Max in New York.
On Wall Street, the Dow is up 236 points today. You're listening to NPR.
Support for NPR comes from Amazon Music. Prime members have access to a catalog of news podcasts ad-free. Breaking news without the breaks. Available by downloading the Amazon Music app or visiting amazon.com/ad-free. This is Kansas Public Radio.
Start date, August 19th.
Got what? Do top. Allumage Vulcain. Allumage AP décollage.
A European mission to study the moons of Jupiter is getting some help. Even though it was launched on Europe's most powerful rocket, It's so heavy that it needs some extra kicks to reach the Jovian system. It'll get two of those kicks this week, one from the Moon, the other from Earth. The mission is JUICE, Jupiter Icy Moons Explorer. It'll study Jupiter's largest moons, Ganymede, Callisto, and Europa. All three are made of ice and rock, with vast oceans of liquid water below their crusts. Europa's ocean is closer to the surface than the other two, and it's considered a possible habitat for microscopic life. JUICE will make a total of 35 close passes by the three moons. After that, it'll settle into orbit around the largest moon, Ganymede. To reach Jupiter and its moons, the craft will make several close passes by other bodies, the Moon, Earth, and Venus. During each encounter, it'll steal a bit of gravitational energy. That acts like a slingshot, accelerating the craft. This week's encounters are the first. JUICE will fly past the Moon, then swing by Earth just a day and a half later, along with three more encounters in the coming years. That will help JUICE reach Jupiter in the summer of 2031, beginning a long reconnaissance of some icy moons. We'll talk about another intriguing icy moon tomorrow. For the University of Texas at Austin McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
Monday evening, KPR friends. It's Destiny. Thank you for being here with me. We just enjoyed Beethoven's Ruins of Athens Overture with Sir Colin Davis and the Bavarian Radio Symphony. A good way to kick off our week. Very fortuitous indeed. Beethoven shall inspire us all, I hope. One of our dear listeners has a request for a Sibelius symphony, number 5. That is a great symphony if you have not heard it before. So stick around with me. We'll hear it together at around, I'd say 7:22. We're going to stick with the Athens theme right now, though, and I'm going to play something that, I don't know if you've heard it before. One of my favorite things to do. So let me know if you have or not. This is by George Templeton Strong, and it's Notebook of Sketches, Suite Number 2, Athens. It's with the Moscow Symphony Orchestra. Hope you enjoy it right now on KPR.
Thank you.
George Templeton Strong's Notebook of Sketches, Suite No. 2, Athens, here on KPR with the Moscow Symphony Orchestra. I'm very curious to know what you thought of that. I recently discovered it, and, well, I'm not going to tell you what I think of it, because I just want to know what you think of it. So, you can always reach out to the station at kansaspublicradio.org or me directly online at destinyviolin.com. I love hearing from you. I'm a real human. I actually reply. I also really, really happen to have a soft spot for Laurie Anderson, and I am going to end the hour with a dance that he wrote, and I think you will love it. So keep listening. You know, every day here at KPR, I hope you hear a difference in in-depth news and thoughtful civil conversations, as well as bad jokes by me. Our news coverage is made possible by listeners like you, and more than 84% of our operating budget comes from private support. Wow. So now, more than ever before, is the time to invest in KPR and news that matters. Now is the time to discover how you can make a difference. Contribute now at support.kansaspublicradio.org, and thanks. And you will help keep the classical music alive on the airwaves. And now, a Sibelius symphony for us to listen to. We are transporting many, many years later, and this is a request from Craig. It's with the Berlin Philharmonic, right now on KPR, Sibelius Symphony No. 5.
Thank you. Thank you.
Sibelius Symphony No. 5 here on KPR with the Berlin Philharmonic. I hope you enjoyed that. I picked it because of that ending. It actually reminds me of what Beethoven does. However, Sibelius took his time in between every single chord. I almost wonder if it was somehow an homage to Beethoven. Oh, quite the ending though, right? You don't really know what to expect, and then it's over. All right, what on earth am I going to follow this with? Well, maybe a drink from the Green Lady Lounge. Hey, hey, they are great supporters of classical music here on KPR. They feature jazz music, cocktails, wine, and beer live, Kansas City Jazz, 365 days a year till 3 a.m. Information is at greenladylounge.com. All right, here's a lovely, lovely dance for you by Leroy Anderson and the Utah Symphony. It's called Saraband, right now on Kansas Public Radio. So charming here on KPR, Leroy Anderson's Saraband.
That was the Utah Symphony Orchestra. And I am very curious out there, does anyone actually know how to pronounce this person's name? Because on my little musical program that occasionally gives me insight on how to pronounce composers' names, it says Leroy, not Leroy. And, well, of course I did an extensive and exhaustive search on Google, and I could not find anything. So I've always known him as Leroy Anderson, not Leroy. So maybe I can do a little mashup of the two. Not Leroy or Leroy, but Leroy. I'll just say it extra fast. So none of you notice. These are the things that we radio hosts have to think about. So if any of you out there happen to know how to actually say his name, you are a unicorn, and I would love to hear from you. And then someday I'll get it right. I have had a great time here with you this evening. I am back tomorrow night with more music for you. Classics Live is up next. Keep on listening to Kansas Public Radio.
Hi, it's Steve Inskeep. There are many ways to make mornings more interesting. You could set a festive new alarm ringtone. Wake up on the wrong side of the bed on purpose. Put hazelnut spread on your toast. Sing all the parts to your favorite musical in the shower. Edelweiss, Edelweiss. And after the applause dies down, you can listen to Morning Edition from NPR News every weekday.
Morning Edition is here for you weekdays on KPR from 5 to 9 a.m. It's Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, where KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, and KANQ Chanute at 90.3. Listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio. Support for classical music on KPR comes from the Green Lady Lounge, featuring Kansas City jazz music, cocktails, wine, and beer. Live Kansas City jazz, 365 days a year till 3 a.m. Information can be found at greenladylounge.com.
Welcome to another Classics Live from Kansas Public Radio. I'm Cordelia Brown, and we are in the Polsky Theater of the Midwest Trust Center for the Performing Arts inside Johnson County Community College with a great all Beethoven recital from two professors of music at Washburn University in Topeka, violinist Jolt Ader and pianist Lucy Tan. Jolt will tell us a little bit about these two sonatas for violin and piano, which apparently go together like a set.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jolt Ader, and I'm joined by Lucy Tan here on stage. We are the Ader-Tan duo. We're just really excited to be here with you today to play some Beethoven. And if you look at the program, one of the things you'll notice, the two Beethoven sonatas are Opus 23 and Opus 24, and so they're really written around the same time, and they were in fact conceived by Beethoven to be a pair. They belong together, and so this is still the early period of Beethoven. He's writing things like his first set of string quartets, his first symphony just came out, and Opus 27 is going to be the Moonlight Sonata, so famous works like that. And so one of the things you'll notice about these two sonatas is that they're very different in mood, which is, I think, why they work really well together. So Opus 23, A minor, is very stormy, very turbulent. There's sort of a relentless rhythm and drive in it, especially in the outer two movements. The middle moving is a contrasting slow movement. But then in the Opus 24 Spring Sonata, the mood changes. It's very, very lyrical, a very cantabile, sort of very singing. And the F major sonata, Opus 24, has the nickname Spring, just because it's very sort of, it's very happy sounding, and he really wrote some great tunes in it. And so we hope you enjoy these two sonatas by Beethoven.
Thank you.
We've just heard two of the sonatas that Ludwig von Beethoven wrote for violin with piano. The fourth sonata in A minor from Opus 23, followed by the fifth sonata in F major, the Spring Sonata from Opus 24. It's a wonderful bridge from stern to joyous, interpreted for us just now by violinist Jolt Eder and pianist Lucy Tan. You may have heard Jolt Eder playing with his quartet, Kansas City's Opus 76 Quartet, or as the concertmaster of the Topeka Symphony. He also plays with New Era Contemporary Ensemble, the Spire Chamber Ensemble, the KC Baroque Consortium, Ensemble Iberica, the Sunflower Music Festival, and the Kansas City Symphony. He's also professor of violin and viola at Washburn in Topeka. Pianist Dr. Lucy Tan is also on the music faculty at Washburn University, where she is the director of keyboard studies and teaches piano. After getting an early start in piano, she's now been able to play at Jordan Hall, Carnegie Hall, and the Lincoln Center. This all Beethoven program from Jolt and Lucy has been a Ruhl Joyce recital here at Johnson County Community College. Every fall and spring since 1989, Johnson County Community College offers this series as a free event for the public. Thanks for joining us for Classics Live from Kansas Public Radio. Our engineer, Chuck Smith, recorded the concert, and I'm Cordelia Brown. Broadcasts of Classics Live are a production of Kansas Public Radio. By Samuel Coleridge Taylor. That was The Black Dance from his African Suite, played by the 2022 Sunflower Music Festival, directed by Andre Raphael. This has been Classics Live on Kansas Public Radio. Support for Classics Live on KPR comes from Topeka Zoo's Brew at the Zoo on Saturday, September 14th, featuring beer tastings, live music, games, food trucks, and animal encounters. Early bird tickets available now at topekazoo.org. And from the University of Kansas, transforming students and society through academics, discovery, service, and spirit. Information about the possibilities of a KU education is online at ku.edu. We are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas. That's KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, KANV, KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, and KANQ Chanute. Plus, you can listen through KansasPublicRadio.org.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Speer. The woman who hopes to be the first female president of the United States has arrived in Chicago.
Joe, thank you for your historic leadership, for your lifetime of service to our nation, and for all you will continue to do. We are forever grateful to you.
Vice President Kamala Harris previewing tonight's keynote speaker on day one of the Democratic National Convention. Also speaking tonight, Michigan State Senator Mallory McMorrow, who painted a grim picture of Project 2025, a conservative doctrine that former President Donald Trump has tried to distance himself from.
Under Project 2025, Donald Trump would be able to weaponize the Department of Justice to go after his political opponents. He could even turn the FBI into his own personal police force. That is not how it works in America.
Former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is delivering remarks at this hour, Clinton talking about her own battle to break the glass ceiling. Democrats are voting on their party's platform tonight, the proposed set of policies backed by the party, largely a continuation of the Biden administration's economic and foreign agenda. Here's NPR's Ashley Lopez.
Much of the platform was written before President Biden left the presidential race and endorsed his vice president, Kamala Harris, to be the nominee. The proposed platform includes a condemnation of the Hamas attacks on October 7th, as well as a continued commitment to support Israel, which is contentious largely among far-left Democrats. Overall, though, the party is proposing economic relief for middle-class families, continued infrastructure investments, as well as preserving abortion rights and voting rights. Many of the policies aim to draw a clear contrast to former President Donald Trump and the Republican Party, as well as shore up support among voters who are re-engaging with the party. Ashley Lopez, NPR News.
Firefighters in Northern California are gaining ground on the fourth largest wildfire in state history. NPR's Nathan Rott reports the blaze is now more than 50% contained.
The Park Fire burning north of Chico, California, is the largest in the country this year, burning nearly 700 square miles of land and hundreds of structures. But it's only one of the scores of large fires that are currently burning across the western U.S. following one of the hottest starts to summer on record. More than 22,000 firefighters and support personnel are working to contain those fires, according to the National Interagency Fire Center. That includes fire managers from Australia and New Zealand and a contingent of U.S. soldiers. Above average fire potential is forecast for much of California, the Great Basin, and the Pacific Northwest through September. Nathan Rott, NPR News.
On Wall Street, the Dow is up 236 points. You're listening to NPR.
Stardate, August 17th. The stars of the summer triangle look a lot alike. Vega, Deneb, and Altair are among the 20 brightest stars in the night sky, and they all shine almost pure white. Vega and Altair really are alike, but except for the way it looks to our eyes, Deneb is nothing like the other two. The triangle is high in the eastern sky at nightfall. It's easy to see even through the glare of the almost full moon. Vega is the highest and brightest of the three stars. Deneb stands to the lower left of Vega, with Altair farther to the lower right. Vega and Altair are both about twice the size and mass of the Sun, and a good bit brighter. And both of them spin rapidly, so fast that they bulge outward at the equator. Vega is farther along in its evolution than Altair is. Because of their mass, both stars will spend about a billion years in the prime phase of life. That's compared to about 10 billion years for the Sun. Deneb is a supergiant, one of the bigger and heavier stars in the galaxy. Some of its details are unclear because its distance is uncertain. It could be about 1,500 light-years away or about 2,600. Either way, we know that it's about 20 times the mass of the Sun and up to 200,000 times the Sun's brightness. It's no more than 10 million years old, with almost no time left. Before long, it'll explode as a supernova, then fade away, and the summer triangle will disappear. Today's program was made possible by Mercer Caverns, located in Calaveras County in California's historic gold country. More information at mercercaverns.net. I'm Billy Henry.
We hope that you are enjoying the jazz on this public radio station. Thank you for your support.
John Wilkins playing guitar from the album Strollin'. That's called But Beautiful, and beautifully done as well. Before that, we heard the mini waltz as done by Gerald Wilson and the orchestra. I'm Tony Mowat. I don't know how I can ever thank you for giving jazz support. This is your opportunity to let us know you care just by listening. And if you want to pledge, you can do that as well. You know what the address is. Just do it online. It's a pleasure for me, and I mean that sincerely. Let's continue right now with Milt Jackson and the Clayton Hamilton Jazz Orchestra. I love this. It's called The Nearness of You.
I present to you John Frigo. Yeah.